This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk, and I'm sitting here with Chris Childers, and we are discussing the Seabull Sailors program that is at Golden Gate Yacht Club. What exactly is this program?
Hey, Karen. The Seabull Sailors program is an initiative by U.S. Sailing. We're hoping to remove barriers to the sport and really barriers to continued participation. So U.S. Sailing saw a big dramatic decline among middle school age kiddos who've maybe completed a summer camp but can't figure out how to continue to access the sport. So the Seabull Sailors program goes specifically to our sailing communities around the country and tries to figure out ways to remove those barriers by providing equipment, coaching, and consulting with each club to figure out ways to increase participation at their center, in their region, and around the country.
So what is the relationship between the Golden Gate Yacht Club and your program?
Golden Gate Yacht Club has a youth sailing foundation. They applied to be a part of the first round of the Seabull Sailors program. So there was an application process in 2019, and they got in. They are a supporting center. Each region comes with several supporting centers and one primary center. So Golden Gate Yacht Club is one of two supporting centers in the Bay Area, alongside Alameda Community Sailing Center and the Treasure Island Sailing Center.
So what is this experience like for these middle school students who come out to sail on one of these sailboats?
That is a great question, because one of the things that really called me strongly to this program is what we do here in San Francisco in our unique location is very special to me. I wasn't ready to accept a cookie cutter program from U.S. Sailing, but what we're able to do is really organic to each individual center that we do. And of course, at Golden Gate, we have one of the best venues you could ask for. We get our middle school kiddos really pre-high school coming out to see if they want to continue sailing on a high school competitive sailing team, to see if they might want to try out keelboats in that environment, to see what it's like to learn other great life lessons that you get from sailing. What's their experience like day to day? We do sailing school just like other folk. We do it in a pretty cool place on a fast, fun boat, and really just focusing on helping kids have a great time, learning how to be good learners and community members as they're doing it. You know, one of the big things is high school sailing in California is really competitive. One thing Golden Gate Yacht Club really wanted to do with its Seabull Sailors program is provide a feeder program to help out the greater high school sailing program in the Bay Area with more folks who've got a foundation of skills before they even get to high school. But really proud that we can get sailors on a fast, fun boat learning the basics to give them a better shot at having success in high school sailing.
Welcome back to the program. Rick Tittle with you in downtown San Francisco, but around the world. Syndicated radio and the American Forces Radio Network in 177 countries. It is Tuesday at, it must be Belgium, it's Tuesday at 9:40, and that means we check in with Karen Lyle, who co-hosts this segment with me, from SailsportTalk.com. And we have a guest coming up, Jillian Humphreys, in just a second. But Karen, you wanted to talk about staying a little local this time. And I know you've gone punting down the Cam and the Thames and all over the world, but right up here in the Delta with your dad, huh?
Well, you know, that's actually where I started boating when I was a kid, because he's a power boater. Right now he has a Cantius 50, a cruiser Cantius 50, and he's the oldest member of the Delta Yacht Club. And so when I grew up, I was on a powerboat. I didn't get into sailing until about 2015, just fell in love with it. But we have a lot of conversations about power versus sailing.
Yes, and most people are trying to avoid the Delta. You went towards it. Play on words. So talk about, real quick, before we bring in our guests, the relationship with your dad and how cool it is that still at this age you can go out with him. That's awesome.
Well, you know, he's a single-hander, which means he's a master at the boat. When he came into the dock and he kind of went around, you know, the other boats and brought his boat in just by himself, you know, with his little joystick on this huge powerboat, all of the powerboaters were lined up on the on the dock just to watch, and then they like applauded when he arrived. He's over 85 and, you know, still dancing and still boating. So it's a good thing. There were a lot of boats up there on the water this weekend. People out, you know, on their water skis, jet skis, power boats, just a lot. But we're talking to a sailor today.
Yes, and let's bring her in. As I mentioned, Jillian Humphreys, who is from said Delta, and she is also a writer as well. Jillian, I love the fact that it says you've been sailing since you were 2 weeks old. Were you on the boom that day?
No, actually, I was in the bilge. My mother is not tall enough to trim sails and keep me in the bilge, so she had to have one foot in the bilge holding me in.
You know, Jillian, I think you said when I was talking, I was thinking it was 2 years old, but you said it was like 2 weeks old. So were you like in a baby carriage in the bilge? Is that what they, I mean, like the little seats or how did she do that?
As my father likes to explain to me, I was into the swaddle mode, as they call it now, wrapped up in a spinnaker, and they just stuffed me in the bilge, and my mother held her foot there so I wouldn't roll out, and I just slept like a little baby. I didn't cry, apparently.
Now, you have been teaching sailing for a long time. You have taught people who have competed in the Olympics. What are some of the first basic steps that you need to learn fundamentally before you can move into the more advanced things?
The one thing that I stress in all of my sailing academics, whether it's kids or adults, is safety. Everybody thinks that the water is somewhere that, where they can play, and safety is my number one when teaching, because water is not forgiving. Even the Delta, I've known a few people that have lost their lives to the Delta, unfortunately. Tragically, unexpectedly, recently this summer, I've lost two of my friends. And it's because you don't know what's underneath the water. If you can't see what's underneath it, don't expect it to be friendly. Safety is number one. Watch your surroundings. Power boaters, jet skiers, those guys don't always look out for sailors. At the same time, sailors don't always look out for fishermen, fishing lines. Them in general on jet skis, you don't know where they're going. So you as a sailor also have to keep eyes out of the boat. It's not just on the power boaters.
Well, just to follow up, when you say if you can't see what's underneath you, are you talking about running aground or hitting a log? What are we talking about here?
So sailors tend to, especially the young ones, there is something called a capsize drill where they flip over the boat so they know what to do in case their boat flips, in case they come into an emergency where they hit a puff of wind and they're knocked over on these smaller boats that we teach them on. And most of the time they think it's okay just to jump into the water. That they know that I don't need a life jacket, I can just jump in. Well, that's not always the case. You don't know if there's a log down there. You don't know if there's an undercurrent. You have to take all of that into consideration, especially not wearing a life jacket on a boat. It's one of the things I really stress is just personal flotation devices, no matter if you're a senior sailor or you're a kid. I grew up sailing, and my parents still to this day and I all wear life jackets when we go sailing, because you don't know the type of, you know, environment. You don't know what the water's doing underneath. On top, it's a completely different story.
Well, the Delta is really, for those who are unfamiliar with that area, it's the Thule's basically, and so there's just all these complex waterways around you know, islands of made of various things, including silt, and to know your way around, even to read a chart, is a pretty complex thing there. You're a member of the Stockton Sailing Club, and I've been up to the Stockton Sailing Club on more than one occasion. We've covered some things, the Christmas lighting parade from that location. Tell us a little bit about the sailors and the sailing at Stockton Sailing Club. And I know they come down to the bay every once in a while.
So most of the sailors in the Stockton Sailing Club, if they are the cruising type, they will sail down to the bay. My family included, they spend about a month down there. and they just harbor hop. They find different yacht clubs along the way. Richmond Yacht Club, Golden Gate is one of their favorites, South Beach, and they just get to know other sailors in the area, and they enjoy that. As far as the racing is concerned, we have one of the longest running races, and that is from Richmond Yacht Club to Stockton Sailing Club, and that's the Delta Ditch Run. It's all downwind most years, and it's a lot of fun in the sun, and one of my previous students did it with me a few years ago, and he liked to tell me it's the all-weather race because you start in foul weather gear, freezing at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then you shed off layers as you come back down to the Delta where it's usually 100 degrees.
Couple more questions here for Jillian Humphreys, Rick Tuttle, and Karen Lyle with you, our SailSportTalk.com segment here on Sports Byline. I've always, I've been in the Delta before and up in the sloughs, as we like to say, and, you know, Karen's right, with all the silting, and you basically have the Sierra Nevada mud just coming right down through the Delta and right out the gate, that I noticed that there are a lot of, bonehead people not obeying the laws, a lot of drunks out there. They seem to come down from, like, the American and Sacramento River sometimes, and I always wondered about just how lawless it is out there. It almost seems sometimes like the Wild West. So is that what you mean about remaining vigilant?
Yes. I mean, of course, you know, you always want to keep your eyes out of the boat. I do power boat myself, so don't always just paint me as a sailor. But yeah, vigilant, I mean, I'm always looking in the water for what we call deadheads, which are the logs that you were describing earlier. You just want to keep an eye out there. The Wild Wild West, yes, that's a great way to describe 4th of July holiday, Labor Day holiday, Memorial Day weekend out there, because it's very lawless. Unfortunately, sheriffs can't be everywhere, and that's a big hazard in its own, being that the sheriffs have to kind of control madness, and they don't always have the resources to control that on those holiday weekends. Keeping an eye out for swimmers in the water. I know that wakeboarders, jet skiers, water skiers, you know, those guys, they are in the water, and not all the time can their boat get back to them or they can get back to the boat. Just be very diligent on looking out for people, for objects that could cause damage to your boat and eject people. All sorts of safety precautions. Even if you hit, I call it a rogue wave, but a wave off of the powerboat that you don't expect to knock somebody out of your boat, it just might.
So slow down. A deadhead is like a log or a pier, you know, like a piece of a pier that is floating in the water where the head is just above. And I just actually reported one over by the Berkeley Reef when I was out sailing on Friday to the Coast Guard. Because those can be quite dangerous, especially for windsurfers, you know, may not see something like that, and it would have, you know, an impact on them. But, you know, one thing I've been wondering, Jillian, about how it is for sailing in the area, because I have not taken my sailboat up to the Delta. I know that my dad, when he's, you know, in his big powerboat with a lot of freeboard, he has me out front, and basically I point out fishermen and swimmers who are in the water, and then he slows way down so there's no wake. Sailors can also make a wake. How do you teach your students and also the other members of the Stockton Yacht Club to be considerate of the fishermen who might be standing up in their boats just balanced and might be tossed by a wake of a boat?
Thank you, Karen. It's Stockton Sailing Club. Stockton Yacht Club's a little bit further down from us.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say, forgive me.
It's
I know
okay.
The
there tends to be a feud occasionally, just like powerboaters versus sailors.
Right. No, I know both of them.
But we do, mostly I teach them, if you are within 20 feet of the shore of another boater, just tack away, which means move your boat, you know, through the eye of the wind and stay clear of them. Because you don't know if you're, I mean, especially the bigger sailboats that do put out the wakes, and depending on the wind, of course, you want to make sure that you're giving them enough room to maneuver if they feel threatened, but also not maneuver into your way. So you want to stay clear and, you know, like you said, vigilant of what's around you. Rocks, tree limbs, swimmers. You just want to keep a good 20 feet distance. And yes, that means tacking up this narrow channel as it is, but we also get cargo ships in all the time. And people know you stay away from those as well. You know, you give them their room. You give, it's just like if you're running into,
No, you just call it social distancing on the water. I get it. And we're out of time, but we've been speaking with Jillian Humphreys, also a writer for Delta and Bay Yachtsman magazine and someone who's been teaching sailing for decades. Jillian, thank you so much for your time and your insights. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. It's great having you, having me.
And Karen, you ever run into one of them big old tankers going up to Stockton?
You know, we make a policy to look on the AES and see where the tankers are and plan ahead so that we're not getting too close to them. I certainly have seen windsurfers who like to go close who've gotten caught and gone underneath. It's dangerous to be close to those ships. They can't maneuver out of your way, and so you want to give them wide berth, as the saying goes.
Check out more at sailsporttalk.com. Karen Lyle, thanks for joining us yet again.
We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. I'm Rick Tittle. We got open lines.